this text is getting a little difficult. So this student who is ignorant in the beginning of the text goes to the teacher saying that I have experienced the world, I have seen everything, enjoyed everything, and I'm still unhappy, I am miserable. There has to be something better, something higher. And so he asks a few questions in the fifth verse. Who am I? Why am I here? What is the purpose of my birth? What is this world I see? Who is God that they all worship? And what is my relationship to the world and God? And so the teacher answers. He says that whatever you see is inert. Whatever is seen, whatever is experienced, this body that I see, these objects that I see in the world, my mind, my emotions, my thoughts, everything is inert. And there is one consciousness which illumines everything, which is the knower, which is the seer. And that is called as Atma or the Self. And last week we had talked about that this consciousness or the Self is permanent, is the witness of everything, not only me, but also the whole universe. And it is the support of the whole universe. And one who knows this is the knower of truth. So we always think of Atma, there is this consciousness that is God, and that supports everything and is the illuminer of everything and is the creator of everything and is the sustainer. And so, and me also, I also am a creation of God, and I am, you know, supported by God, and I am maintained by God, and ultimately I'll die and merge into it. So we always think of this Atma or this consciousness. He's all pervading. It's everywhere. And that's very clear to us. But what is my relationship to this God or this consciousness? And who am I really? Has been explained by the Upanishads and by our scriptures in detail. And this verse very clearly answers all these questions. I'll try my best. And if we don't finish, we can even continue next week. So who am I? You might say, I am that, but that is a very simplistic answer. There is a lot more to that than saying, I am that. So we'll go to verse number 9 on page 30. Ahameva tattvam jagadashrayam yad. Ahameva tattvam jagadashrayam yad. Bhinnam yata sarva bhasam sarva mabhasamatram. Bhinnam yata sarva mabhasamatram. Kuto bhayam me paramartha darshinah. Kuto bhayam me paramartha darshinah. Yaham parananda swarupa eva. Ham parananda swarupa eva. Those who are relative beginners in this field, this verse may be too much, you know, to digest or grasp. But I think those who have been coming for this class, hopefully, will be able to relate to it. But this subject that we are dealing with, even for those who are new, is repeated periodically, has been repeated in previous classes and will be. So it, through repetition, it will become easier. So he says, who am I? Ahameva tattvam jagadashrayam. I alone am the essence of this universe, and I am the support of this universe. But yet I am distinct from this universe. And what is this universe? What is this world? Yata, it is sarvam abhasa matram. It is just an appearance. This world is just an appearance. kuto bhayam me, then why should I be afraid? I become fearless. Why? Because I am Paramartha Darshina. I have seen the reality of myself and of this world. And because of that, not only I am fearless, but I am Parananda Swarupa. I am of the nature of bliss. So some of these points I have mentioned here that we'll try to cover, describing who am I. So the main thing is that this, what I am talking about, is the view of an enlightened person. It's not my, I do not have all these experiences yet. I am also a seeker like all of you. But an enlightened person, somebody like Jesus or Buddha or Shankaracharya or Guru Nanak or Swami Chinmayananda, these great prophets and masters had this experience. And that's what they have described in the scriptures. So we'll try to understand that, even though we may not be at that level, but this will at least give us a direction in which I have to go, because as a spiritual seeker, my goal is enlightenment. My goal is not just worldly success or maybe reading a few books or ability to chant Sanskrit or ability to, you know, be a teacher or ability to get some magical powers. That's not my goal. My goal is self-realization. And if that is not our goal, then I am not a spiritual seeker. So, who am I? So, the first thing it says is, I am the essential nature or reality. What is the essential nature? What is reality? The essential nature of something is that without which a thing is not a thing. Like, you may say sugar. What is the essential nature of sugar? Now, sugar can come in different forms. Sugar can come in, you know, in granules. It can come in big blocks, you know, those big blocks of sugar. It can come in powder. It can be brown sugar. It can be white sugar. It can be in the form of candy. It can be in the form of... But if the sugar is not sweet, then it's not sugar. The essential nature of sugar is sweetness. It can be any, the shape is not essential, the form is not essential, the color is not essential. Essential nature is sweetness. Like in India, we get a product called alum, which people use for shaving to make the water antiseptic after if they cut themselves. So that alum looks exactly like sugar, but when you taste it, it's bitter. It looks like crystal sugar, and you say, that's not sugar. So similarly, what is my essential nature without which I will not be what I am? What is it that is my support? Is that without which I become non-existent? So like, what is the support of mud pots? You know, mud pots, you say, well, the essential nature of it is mud. Now, a pot could be, as we mentioned, round, it could be flat, it could be blue, it could be green, it could be a big pot, it could be a small pot. In fact, pot may go away from mud, even though it came from earth. You may take a pot out into space, you know, a vessel that the astronauts are using on, you know, in the space station. But even though it is separated from mud, it is not connected to mud, it is nowhere near the mud. It does not lose its essential nature called mud. From the pot, if you remove mud, then what is left? Nothing left. So what is it that is the support of all of us and without which we become non-existent? What is that existence? What is that substratum from which I emerge? Just as the substratum for all the waves is the ocean, the substratum for all the ornaments is gold. So what is the substratum or what is the source from which I originated? And then the second question is not only who am I, but what is this world? Is the world real? When they talk in the scriptures about the world being real or unreal, what they mean real is that which was there in the past, is here now, and will be in the future. So that which was always there is here and will always be there in the past, present, and future. And that which will always be there in all states of consciousness, in the waking, dream, and deep sleep. So that which never becomes non-existent is real. That if it was here today and will not be there tomorrow, we say it has a relative reality. It appears at this moment, like this table appears. It is here, but 5 years from now, it was probably a tree. It was a log of wood, and the tree was cut and then made into a table. And then in the future, if this table breaks, then, you know, you may dispose it off or make it into firewood, and it will burn into ashes. So what is real is what is permanent, what always was. Now, in this world, there are so many things which appear real, but we see that everything is changing, like the block of ice appears very solid. After a while, you leave it, becomes water, then it becomes water vapor, and then it disappears. A man comes, you know, he's 250 pounds, muscular linebacker, you know, very powerful. And then as he gets older, some illness strikes him, and then he slowly, slowly wastes away, and he becomes nothing. The Titanic, you know, it was considered to be unsinkable. And, you know, one day it was gone. The World Trade Center, unfortunately. But, yeah, they were so strong and powerful. And the Grand Canyon, at one time it was flat. And then with the billions of years of the river cutting from the flat land, it has now become a huge, deep canyon, several thousand feet. So everything in this world is an appearance, is present, but will not be the same in the future. Was not the same in the past. The Grand Canyon billions of years ago was different. Today is different. And in the future, it will be even thousands of feet deeper as the river, Colorado River, continues to eat into that. So what is my reality and what is the reality of this world? They say that we all have two realities. One is the relative and one is absolute. One is the subject, one is the object. So like I play the part of I get a part in a play and I play the part of a king. And so when I'm on the stage, I'm wearing this crown and all this jewelry and all these fine clothes. And then I get off the stage and I take it all off and I come back to my original reality. If I go home and start saying, I am the king, may my shoes be brought, then my wife will bring my shoes, but they may appear on my head. So there is a relative reality, which I play a part, and then there is the absolute reality of who I am. So similarly, they say that this body, mind, and intellect is a relative reality, is an entity that I have at this moment put on, like the king's outfit that I wore. So similarly, this body, mind, and intellect is an outfit that I am wearing. But in reality, I am that infinite consciousness, that subject, that witnessing consciousness, that is not only the support of me as an individual, but also of the whole universe. So this whole universe is supported by, there is only one consciousness, which we call as Brahman or the totality, which supports everything in this universe, including me, including my body. And my relative reality is this body, mind, and intellect, and I get a name called Anil or Carrie or Diana. I get an identity as a male or a female, as a housewife or a doctor or an engineer or a professor or a teacher. And so whatever roles I play, I continue to play the role. Just as when I play the role of a king, I do my best to perform the role. But inside I know that I am really not the king. I am Mr. So-and-so. Cary Grant or whoever that actor is playing that role knows that he's not the king. So similarly, as I am playing the role of this body, mind, and intellect, of this perceiver, feeler, and thinker, I never forget that I am in reality the subject, the consciousness that is occupying this body. And if somebody asks, when were you born? Of course, as a body, I have to tell my date of birth because that's how I'll get gifts. But as a consciousness, when was this consciousness born? You know, when was God born? And they say God always was. There was never, in fact, even before time, even before there was time, before there was past, present, or future, there was this consciousness called God. And my essential nature is that essential consciousness which always was. I was never born. And then somebody might say, where did you come from? And that's the next question. Okay, if you are so-and-so, where did you come from? Like somebody, you know, who like me, they will ask me, where did you come from? I'll say, I grew up in India, then I came to New York, and then I moved to Bakersfield. They may ask me why, but I can't answer that. But I'm very happy here. But somebody who was born and brought up in Bakersfield went to BHS, and, you know, so they say, where were you born? I was lived here. Where did you come from? I was born, brought up, lived all my life in Bakersfield. So I did not come from anywhere. I was born here, lived here, and I continue to live here. So similarly, as the consciousness, I was never born. There was no place where I am not. As the consciousness, I am everywhere. That consciousness, that one consciousness, I was never born, and I did not come from anywhere because I am everywhere. So that I have to understand, that I, as the totality, as an individual, obviously, as Anil, I was, you know, born in India, I came here, and then after a few years, I won't be around, I'll be gone. And, you know, this individual called Anil will become non-existent. But as the consciousness, I am eternal. And that is my essential nature, that is my reality. And that is what one has to constantly focus on, that this body, mind, and intellect is not my reality. This is my lower reality, or my empirical reality, or my relative reality, or my transactional reality. To deal with the world, when somebody asks me, who am I? Obviously, I have to give my name, my profession, my age, my date of birth. I cannot say I am that immutable self, I was never born, and I am never going to die. No, I have to tell them my date of birth, you know, for my social security and for my... But inside, I have to know that there is a transactional reality and there is an absolute reality, the totality of this universe. And that is my essential nature. You and I at this moment don't feel that. We still are so much caught up in our transactional reality. But the enlightened person understands, because he or she has woken up. It's just as from a dream, when you wake up and you realize that the dream was just a dream, and in the dream I was on a train station and I missed my train and then I got lost. But when I wake up, I see there was no train, there was no station, there was no, you know, I am back in my bedroom. So similarly, you and I are in the dream of this world, but the enlightened person has woken up to his true nature. And in through meditation and through right knowledge, we try to wake up to that enlightened state, which at this moment seems like a weird dream, you know. And that's why when we see an enlightened person, we usually think he's a little bit off. Most of us, when you see a wise person, this guy, he's a little crazy. You know, and that's how all the saints and prophets, they were either called as crazy, or they were persecuted, or they were crucified, or they were... Why? Because they are at a different level from all of us, and we are not comfortable. You know, what is this guy talking? You know, it doesn't make any sense to us. Even what I'm saying at this moment, a lot of you must be thinking, this is, you know, bunk, you know, I don't know why he... But that, but what, whether you admit it or not, that is the reality of who we are. And once you understand that, once you become that wise person, then you become fearless and blissful. Talking about fearless reminds me of a little story. So there was this student who went to this teacher, and the teacher told him, everything is Brahman, everything is God. This whole universe is that alone. You know, that they say that this whole universe is that. And everything is Brahman, everything is God, everything. He said, ah, good, I understood. So he starts walking out into the street. And there was this man riding on an elephant. In those days, you know, people used to use elephants for transportation and for, you know, taking things and even for rides and all. So now this man used to use this elephant for, you know, for earning his living. And that elephant, some reason, got mad. He got very, you know, upset, became crazy. And the elephant started going through the town, you know, like a mad elephant, you know, breaking things and stomping on people and, you know, breaking houses. You know, for some reason, he became crazy. And this man was walking. And the man on the elephant says, move away, move away. This elephant is crazy. So he says, look, I am Brahman. This elephant is Brahman. We are all one. You know, his teacher had taught him, he and I are one. So elephant is not going to do anything to me. You know, because he had that understanding that everything is that one consciousness. So he kept on walking. The man says, move, move. This elephant will step on you. Elephant cannot do anything to me. I am that reality. You know, I am that consciousness. I am indestructible, I am never born, you know, I never die. All those ideas he had just freshly learned, just as you and I just freshly learned. So he kept on walking, and the elephants caught him, you know, in his trunk and threw him far away, you know, and he hit that wall, and his face was broken and bones were broken. He was bleeding all over, and the elephant went on. So then they carried him to the hospital, you know, and then he was lying sick, and the doctor fixed him up, put casts and gave him some medicine and fixed all his cuts and wounds. And then the guru came to visit him, the teacher. So he says, what happened to you? He said, Guruji, you taught me wrong. He said, why did I teach you wrong? He said, you told me that everything is that consciousness and the elephant and I are one. And look, see what the elephant did to me. He said, I told you that everything is that consciousness, that God. He said, yeah. And the elephant is that. He said, yeah. He said, how about that guy sitting on top of the elephant? Was he not also that consciousness? And was he not telling you to move? Why didn't you listen to that God? you thought the elephant is God, and you were, but then that God who was sitting on top of the elephant. So the point is that we do not understand, and in the relative world, as we are functioning in the body, mind, and intellect, we have to deal with the world as it is. If there is a person comes with a gun, you don't say, oh, you know, he is God and I am God. We are all one. We are that one reality. And you don't go and, you know, you close your door and you call the police. Why? Because at the level of the body, mind, and intellect, people may function differently. There may be some who are saints, and then there may be some who are criminals. There may be some, you know, who harm us. There may be some who love us. But my understanding should be that in the background of all these people, whether they are sinners or saints or good or bad, or the world may call them that, but the reality of all is that they are that one consciousness. And that is my reality too. So at the highest plane, we are all one. And that's why Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. And no matter who that neighbor is, as love them as thyself. Thyself means as that consciousness, that we are all that one consciousness who is playing different roles. And depending on the roles, you deal with that individual. Just as when I'm playing the part of a king, There may be another person, you know, who is my brother in that play, so I play the role of my brother. And then there is a person who is my servant in that play, and so I treat that person like that he's my employee. And then there may be another king who is my enemy and is supposed to attack me. So in that play, I have to play that role that this king is attacking me. So in that play, I play whatever role I am required to play, husband or wife or king or servant, or I may be a servant and there may be a master or a boss. So the role I play based on whatever role the director has given me, the director of the play or the writer of the play. So similarly, there is a divine director who has created this whole play of this universe. And I play whatever role I have been assigned to play. But while I am playing the role, I don't forget who I really am. So that is what they are saying, that play that role, but remember that you are that reality who is functioning through this world. And once you do that, then you become blissful. Then you become happy, because then you become complete. Because at the body level, there may be sorrows. At the mind and intellect level, there may be sorrows. But at the level of the spirit, there can be no sorrow, because that God is all perfect, all blissful. So the more I come closer to the truth of my true nature, the more happier, the more blissful I become. And that is the purpose of spirituality, to become more calm, to become more peaceful, to become more happy, to become more complete. Because at this moment, you and I think we are incomplete because we are still identified with this body. And the last question, what is God? God, that one consciousness, that total consciousness, that which we call as Brahman or reality, when functioning through this individual body as me, becomes this limited, finite creature. But when that total consciousness functions through the total universe, enlivening the whole universe, it becomes God. So that totality functioning through the total consciousness, through the whole world, becomes God, which creates and sustains this world. And that same consciousness functioning through me becomes this individual limited creature. But the essential nature is only one, that which is that one substratum. Functioning through the total universe becomes God. Functioning through that individual becomes me. So that is my relationship. So at this moment, I worship this God as this almighty creature, almighty who supports me, who creates me. But I slowly have to move to the essential nature of who I am. And then I become a wise person. Then I become an enlightened person. I become fearless. Why do I become fearless? Because we fear who we are not. I fear somebody else. I don't fear myself, generally. I mean, unless somebody has serious psychiatric problems. But generally, a person doesn't fear themselves. I'm not afraid of myself, but I may be afraid of her because of what she can do to me, or maybe she's my supervisor, or maybe she has a gun. So I'm always afraid of another. I am fearful of another, I am jealous of another, I am angry with another, I hate another. But when I see that one consciousness in all, then they are all me, they are all one. So then I become fearless, and I have nobody to be afraid of because they are all me. And that's why saints become totally fearless. No matter the whole Roman Empire was against Jesus, he was fearless. Not only that, but once I realize this whole world is me, then not only I become fearless, but I develop spontaneous love for all, because they are all me. So then I have no anger, then I have no hatred, then I have no jealousy. Whom am I to be jealous of? They are all me. If somebody is doing well, that's wonderful. I'm doing well. You know, then I'm not jealous of another person's success, because that's me. I'm doing so. So it changes your whole way of thinking. It's a very, very beautiful concept. I don't know if I was able to explain it, but think about this more and more of who I am. And what I am telling you is not only in the book, but what I have heard from the commentaries of some of the great teachers. And I would request you all to listen to this tape again. Tony will be putting it online in 3 or 4 days, because this concept is not easy even for me to explain. Is not easy even for me to understand. It took me a lot of effort. So listen to this again, because this changes the way you look at the world and you look at yourself. Any questions or comments?
I think it's degrees of this. I mean, the more that I study and I learn, the more things start clicking. And you know, some days, absolutely, it's easy to remember the medicine of play, and other days, you forget. But it's just that understanding that just keeps growing.
Mm-hmm.
And when something, you know, which typically everybody thinks is a very tragic thing that happens, yes, it's tragic, but when you understand the bigger picture, even if you're not an enlightened person, I think it makes it easier to deal with the world as well.
Yeah, excellent. I think your point is very well stated, because it is a matter of degrees. It's not that one day you are ignorant and suddenly the next day, you know, it's not like a light bulb, you know, you turn on. It's gradual. It's like a flower, you know, for it from a bud to become a flower. You cannot force it. It's a gradual process, you know, slowly, slowly the bud opens. And the sun rising, you know, does it happen that it was dark and then suddenly brilliant light? No, slowly the sun rises and then you see a little color in the sky, you know, little orange, and then it becomes red and then yellow, and then slowly you see the first peak of the sun, and then slowly, and then brilliant, you know, light. So realization is a gradual process. Thank you for bringing that up. And like you said, as you become slowly, that just as the sun rises and the slowly the world becomes brighter, so similarly, as our knowledge grows, slowly the understanding comes. And like you said, dealing with the world becomes easier, like things like stressful, like death, you know, dealing with death or dealing with stressful situations or separation or your own problems become easier. And you're absolutely right. Thank you. But it is gradual, yes. And by repeated listening, and even though we have repeated this again and again, even I have been hearing it for the last 23 years, you know, ever since 1990, since I started listening to it. And still when we go to PRC, you know, in Northern California, they repeat the same thing. And you still, every time you listen, something new comes, something, you know, makes it more. So repeated listening is always beneficial. You can't say, I've heard it, I am that, and, you know, disappear, because it's not that easy, because it's years of ignorance. In fact, if you're a Hindu, you believe that it's lifetimes of ignorance. You know, I have had so many lifetimes. So at least now I have found a teacher like, you know, Swami Tejomayananda, who has given us this book to tell us that. So at least we can start thinking and applying and practicing that.
I like your analogy of the essence of the sugar being sweetness. I thought that was right. For me. I'm curious, just the essence of God then would be defined as love, light, or what? Do they talk about that?
The essence of everything is that what they call as existence, consciousness, and bliss. That substratum, which is the existence, you know, what is the essence of table? It is. So the isness of a thing is the essence of it. It is the table existence, and then all-knowing, the knowledge and the bliss. But that is also, those are also qualities. But it is that consciousness that we call as Brahman, or the support of this whole universe, the totality, the total consciousness, which then appears as all this. So that is the essential nature of everything. And that is also the essential nature of God, which is one. That one substratum which appears as the universe, appears as God, and appears as me. So that one substratum, which here we identify as Om, but it is the life, you can say life is the essential substratum of. I mean, she can answer that. I mean, if you look in her, if you talk to her family and in her herself, there has been a quite much of a change since, you know, she has been coming. I think there has been a definite change in the way I perceive myself and the world. Not that I have, you know, become a different person, but situations that used to bother me don't bother me as much. I think I have become, compared to what I was, little more calmer, definitely more peace, at peace with myself, at peace with the world. You know, like things like traffic or other people's behavior or people shouting or getting upset and all used to disturb me a lot more. Even death, you know, death of, you know, people I have seen around me, I understand as it is a sequence of things that are happening, and, you know, you just see it as happening. So I find that I'm able to deal with myself and with situations better now than I was 20 years ago, right? I think so. I don't know if I'm any closer to the truth, but I think having contacted these saintly people and having read, I think I have changed. I don't know. You have to ask my wife. So, but I think it does change. I think usually other people can tell if you have changed. But I think if things that, you know, if you feel yourself to be calmer, more at peace, and also you find that you are more happier with yourself, you are less dependent. In the past, you know, on a Friday evening, if, you know, I remember when we first came to town, Indians love to have parties. And so on a Friday evening or on a, you know, there was no party in town, you know, we're like, what are we going to do, you know? And you had to have somebody invite you. And if there was nothing, you would call a couple of friends and just go to a restaurant. Or let's go out, because you were uncomfortable just staying at home doing a Friday night. I'm not doing anything. You know, like kids, teenagers, oh, it's Friday. I have to go somewhere. I have to do something. And now if it's a Friday, if nobody comes, it's okay. You know, I can sit and read, or I can, you know, walk on the treadmill, or I can, you know, just sit outside and watch the moon. You know, so I find that I think more self-sufficient. Maybe I'm older. That could be it. No, but I think it makes you more comfortable with who you are. You don't really need another person to make you happy as it used to be before. So I think it's a gradual process, and different people change at different rates depending on, you know, where they were. Mm-hmm. And depending on how ready they are. You know, some people just, you know, if they're already very advanced, all they need is a little spark of knowledge, and they change radically. Others, it takes them more time. But either way, it's a subtle process. It's a gradual process. And it's very beneficial. This path has, I think, at least I always feel grateful that I could meet a guru like Swami Chinmayananda and all his other students who have guided me and given us all this material. So I'm always very grateful, like the George Johnson who came last week, and he starts his day with gratitude. And I do that every day, several times a day. I feel very grateful to Lord and to my teacher for showing me this path. I may not have gone very far, but at least now I know where I am supposed to go. No, you're right. Like her, you know, she's a typical example of an evolved person. She's very soft. No, she is. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Enlightened one.
share, I think you were talking about gratitude, and I think as I've evolved through this journey, gratitude will shift because, as you know, my husband's going to go through this bypass surgery, so I'm in my meditation this morning, and I'm praying for strength to be at his side to go through this, whatever the outcome, experience. And I get, somebody talks to me, and I hear this voice in my head that said, that needs a happy ending. That's what I pray for.
That's good.
That's a softening.
Yes. That's true. That's the universal, you know, universal awakening.
Yeah, it's very humble.
Yeah, gratitude is beautiful. You must have that every moment. That's what I learned from George.
Didn't he say he does 10 minutes of that?
Yes. Yeah, he does 10 minutes of gratitude every morning. 10 minutes. How can you find 10 minutes of something to be grateful? I would start with, oh, my health, my body, my family, my 5 minutes. I mean, in 30 seconds, I'm done. But he looks for 10 minutes for things to be grateful for. And he says that fills his mind with joy, and you know, so he says that gratitude, it awakens certain centers in your brain that are very fulfilling. Because most of the time we are complaining, or we are, you know, and that is a very negative feeling.
He even says that he expresses gratitude for negative things that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We don't see the difference.
Yeah, there is no difference. In the totality, it is just a happening. And if whatever happens is okay, there's no good or bad.
Because I am at peace, and that feels as foreign as when I was stressed about not being. The peacefulness is a strange, it's affecting my belief system of,
yeah, no, peace definitely it takes you towards peacefulness and, mm-hmm. and makes you happier. That's what I have found. I mean, I was always a happy person, but it's a different kind of happiness. Previously, it was a happiness due to an object, having friends or something that I got. It's a different. This inner contentment or inner, I don't know, it's different. I think you slowly experience that as you. Makes you more self-sufficient. That's the only word I can. Because God is self-sufficient, you know, he's perfect. He doesn't need anything. Not that I am there or we are there, but it is grades of evolution, I think. So if we evolve from protozoa to fish to animal to man, and then you have to evolve towards sainthood, towards the enlightenment, and that is ultimately the goal of. So it's...